We thank you, Father. We thank you for what you have done for us. We thank you, Lord. Father, now as you approach thy word, Lord, and before we approach thy once again, Father, I lift my hand unto you. And Lord, as I believe and as the church believe, Father, in your promised word, amen. And thou art the faithful God. Thou art the only one. There is no other God but Yahweh. Amen. And Father, we thank you that you have given us this rock, and the rock is Christ, and Christ is the mighty word of God manifest to us. And in this generation that we have, Father, we have received the revelation of thy word. And have been strengthened, O Father, by what you have revealed to us. And so now, Father, once again, Father, Lord, we ask of your grace that you continue, O Father, to overshadow us, Lord, amen, with the mighty power of our Lord Jesus Christ, whose blood was shed for us, not just for sin, Lord, but for the healing of our spirit and our soul, and even more so, Father, in this life that we live, knowing that you care for us, thou art the great physician. Therefore, Lord, cover us, Lord. Amen. And watch over us, everyone, Father, from this time, Father, of great trials and temptation, of this pandemic. And we thank you, Lord. Truly, we hide ourselves, close the door, and come into the Cooper with our Christ Jesus, with our beloved, and know him, and he knows us, Father. We thank you, Lord, and that we've been strengthened, Father, walking in the faith of your precious word. So, Lord, bless this day now. Bless everyone. And strengthen everyone in health. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. You all may be seated. You know, I want to finish off this because my talk originally always been on this issue of the mark of the beast. Because what happened in the past several months, you know, or beginning of this year especially, when the government of many countries start to get people vaccinated, and we have all kinds of strange teaching out there all over the world, and even I heard it from India, from Philippines and Africa too, you know. Oh, the vaccine is the mark of the beast. And so there have been a lot of all these ideas and confusion and controversy over what the mark of the beast really is. And that's why I want to touch on that. And so our title is a prophetic beast, being that it is plural because there are two beasts. But I want to today to come to that point where we can identify what on earth is this mark. Is it a literal mark? Is it a physical mark? You know, or is it a religious mark? The thing that was all on the internet, as I said in the first week, was because there was something interesting that came up that drew my attention. And it was that many Christians now believe and have been teaching that the mark of the beast is actually the Islamic religion. And if you look at the first picture, they take it that the 666 from the Greek alphabet is a key C stigma. And that what bring out the number 666. And because someone said that, oh, actually when you look at it, key sigma in the Greek alphabet look actually as an image of the Arabic words, that key sigma look like the Arabic word in the name of Allah. So the 666 is actually in the name of Allah, and which of course, now, when I talk about Islam, please do not think that Islam is all that. No, they are always the extremist group. You understand, right? They are the extreme. They are those that are extreme. Like in Christianity, we have the same problem. Back in the day of the Dark Ages, where the extreme Roman Catholicism, that are killing people and chopping people's head, torturing people. You understand? You see the extreme Islamic out there in Iran, Iraq, and Afghan, the Taliban, you know, they wear this band on the right hand and oil on forehead, you know, in the name of Allah. And if you remember back in the days when the Japanese, you know, when they protest and all that, they put also the headdress, a white one, I think some kind of words there, I don't know what they wrote, and they will shout there, Banzai, Banzai, and you know. And so every country has their own spirits. I mean, every religion, so or every organization, as I said, they involve a spirit behind all this movement. All right, so we already look at that, and now we already want to show further, because they believe, these people who believe, who come up to this revelation that the 666 is actually in the name of Allah, and therefore refer to the Islamic religion, the extreme goods, so to speak, they are going to cut off people's head and the future, and they force you to take the, this name of, in the name of Allah, on their, on your arm, on your forearm, and also on your forehead. And that is a real strange interpretation. Alright, now, look at the second image. Now, as I said, this one that I've given you is actually the beast depicted in Revelation chapter 17. Alright, but since the beast that came out of the sea do not have a woman sitting on it. You only need a woman sitting on it, only later found in Revelation chapter 17. But I want to take this image that you will understand that there are, this is the beast that came out of the water having seven heads. Now having seven heads, as you know, it doesn't mean that all the seven heads are actually talking at the same time, but there's only one head that is being mentioned. And the one head that has the ten horns, which have crowns on the ten horns. And that's the next image we see here, of course, is the second beast that came out of the land. Now, I want to make you understand this. If you look at your Bible in King James, and you look at this text here, remember I told you, I give you the link out to where you can get this numeric New Testament. And this is Revelation chapter 12, verse 17, the last verse of that chapter. And then also Revelation 13:1. Now I want you to look at it carefully here. And the dragon waxed wroth with the woman and went away to make war with the rest of the seed that keep the commandments of God and hold the testimony of Jesus. And he stood upon the sand of the sea. And I saw the beast coming out of the sea having ten horns and seven heads. And on his horns ten diadems. And upon his head, names of blasphemy. Now, if you look at your King James Version, or New King James, you know that there are some missing words. In fact, if you look at the research, there are only a few translations that actually have the same writing here as the Greek New Testament. Alright, as the Greek numeric New Testament. You find one thing here. Chapter 13, verse 1. And he stood upon the sand of the sea. He referred to who? It refers to the dragon, the serpent. Alright, which is defined in chapter 12, verse 17. The last verse of chapter 12. And the dragon waxed wroth with the woman and went to make war with the rest of the sea that keep the commandments of God and hold the testimony of Jesus. And he stood upon the sand of the sea. And then John said, and I saw the beast coming out of the sea. Now, here again, to show you that the vision, I mean, sometimes, as I said, a translation of the Bible, the version that you have, King James, is quite a big mess sometimes, you know, because the way that they translate it without thinking, and there's always a shifting of words. If you look at it, having ten horns and seven heads, right? But if you look at the King James, he didn't say that. He says having seven heads and ten horns. The other way around. John saw the horn comes out first when the animal comes out of the sea, right? When he comes walking out of the sea, rise up from the sea. You see that he saw the horns first. Then the head that holds the horn. That's why the emphasis of this
first being the important is upon the horn, then it is an end time scenario. It is not in the past. It is something that is happening in our present time. Alright, so now I want you to go and read now Daniel chapter 7, verse 7 to 8. What you see in Revelation chapter 13, the first beast, and what you see here in Daniel chapter 7, 7 to 8. Now this is what Daniel said. After this I saw in a night vision, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong, exceedingly. And it had great iron teeth. It devoured and break in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it. And it had 10 horns. And I considered the horns, and behold, there came out among them another little horn, before whom there were 3 of the first horn plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. Now, visions are strange anyway. You know, God showed visions to his prophet, his apostles, and they are all very strange. We need to really examine and understand these visions. Here in this vision, in chapter 7, there are all together 4 beasts. You all know, huh? Just look at it. The first beast in verse 4, a lion with eagle's wings. And that is Babylonian. Okay, under Belshazzar, if I pronounce right. And you know, Babylon moves very fast at you. But of course, it was proud. And so, you know what happened if you read some of the other plays of Daniel's dealing with the kingdom. And then the second beast in verse 5 was a bear. And it was lopsided. Okay. And of course, that's Middle Persia. And then we have verse 6, a leopard with 4 wings of a bird. And forehead, of course, that was Alexandra. And later on, of course, you split up into 4 dominions. Okay? So we have lion, bear, leopard. The fourth beast is a beast that John, look at it. I mean, there's no name given to this beast. I mean, it's a strange beast. Okay, and he said he has 10 horns. There's only 1 head, but 10 horns. Okay, and he had, he says that there came up another horn. Now, there are 10 horns, but there came up another horn. Where did this horn come from? It didn't come up from the head, it came up from among them. And he has eyes like a man. Do you read what I'm reading here? Verse 10, verse 8. I considered the horn, and behold, there came up among them another little horn. It didn't come up from the head. It came up from the 10 horn. You know what horns are? It represents, as I said, this a beast represents a kingdom or nations and an empire. It has a body. It has a head. Okay. It doesn't have legs and tails, doesn't matter. I can chop off your hands and legs and you live. But your person must have a body and a head. So this is what the Bible talks about. When your body, a head, and a head can have horns. And the Bible tells us that this is 10 horns, but there's 1 horn that came out from among them. It didn't come out from the head, it came out from among this 10. One of the horns sprouted another horn that has eyes like a man. And we know that who this is. In history, now this is history. Okay, in Daniel, it is history. Alright, when the barbarian empire, hidden nation came in and break up the Roman Empire, it was divided into 10 provinces. And you know, they are all supposed to be political, but you know, Vatican, the Roman Church, very subtle, always move among people, among the nation. So what do you think is happening today? In America, the way the politician was talking about, you know, the America, the second beast, the president is Roman Catholic, I think Kamala Harris is also Roman Catholic, and there's a lot of Roman Catholic, and there's a lot of things that's going on you don't see. It's behind. Do you understand what I'm saying? Huh? Look in India. How do you get this PM Modi get into power? It's always some powerful, some religious organization behind that fuel the money, push the person out. There's always like this. Always in Malaysia, we see the same thing. The problem is going on. There's always this organization for that. They're going to try to push somebody to the forefront. Okay, so what we see then, of course, that this one horn came out and took over the other three horns and destroyed, break into pieces. And it's actually a religious horn. It didn't come from the head. It's sprout from among them. So now, when there are people, there are theologians or preachers that said that in Revelation chapter 13 verse 1, this first beast that came up is actually the same beast here in Daniel chapter 7, this diverse beast. No. This diverse beast, when Daniel saw this beast in his vision, he had only one head and 10 horns, right? Now, anyone do not grow heads. You understand what I'm saying? If we have some instrument where they're born out with two heads, they're born out with two heads, right? Now, you're born with one head. Can you grow another head? I don't think so. Huh? I don't think people can grow head. You can grow a horn, but you won't grow a head. You see? So, the beast do not grow another six head to make altogether seven head. As some people interpret here, no. In Revelation chapter 13, the first beast is a future prophetic event ahead of Daniel. And it is not the same beast. Not at all. But what I want you to know, if you read that in, go to Revelation chapter 13 now. Okay, just look at it and alright, Revelation chapter 13. Now, what did he say in verse 2? And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, feet as like that of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him power and his seat and great authority. So what John saw was that this animal is a composite animal. Okay, he didn't see that. The seven head, one of the head is like a lion, the other one is like a leopard, another one is like a bear. No, he didn't see that. He described it as like a leopard, that means the body. Feet was like a bear, but the mouth of a lion. And these very characteristics of what John saw was what happened in the past when Daniel saw. But what Daniel saw were those three kingdoms before the fourth one. What do we have? Babylonian. Second one, Medo-Persia. Medo-Persia, not just Persia, because it's a Basil Lopsan that they actually combined with one. And then the third one is Grecian. Alright? It has four wings. And it divided later into Alexander's general. And then we have the fourth one, diverse. Don't know how to describe it. Okay, and that's what we see the Catholic Church later on come into play. And this is what all we see in Revelation chapter 13. A composite bit. But why do you have seven heads? And yet the Bible did not tell us about the seven heads. Correct? All we know there are seven heads was because there are seven empires. Seven kingdoms that happened back then. All in that region. But the thing is that when John saw this composite animal, leopard, bear, lion, he was talking about the spirit that still remains in that. You know, today, if you go to, let's say you go to the Middle East, what do you think is the spirit out there? What kind of ancient kind of, nationalistic kind of spirit. What do you think you'll get out there in the Middle East?
Well, you have the Persian people there, and the people still behave like Persian, old ancient time, you know, the culture is still there. What about if you go to Rome, you go to Greece, what do you get? The Roman spirit, you have the Grecian, you know, the culture. So these are the composite in that area that still remains. And that's why this creature, when John saw this, and this beast that came out of the sea. Now, when the Bible talks about the came out of the sea, it's a great sea. There's only one big sea that is well known in that place. And that is the great sea, which we call it today, Mediterranean Sea. You understand? Okay. So now, when we look at this, then we understand this, alright? So, the beast in Daniel, diverse beast. It breaks up to 10. Now, do you know the... I'll just give you some understanding about the history here we have. Yugoslavia. Alright? Yugoslavia. You heard of Yugoslavia? Okay, is it still around? It split up into 6 nations. You know. And Czechoslovakia. Is it still around? No. It divided to become 2 nations. It is called Czech Republic and Slovakia. Okay, so I remember the brother, I think brother John Raw, he came back in the late 1990s, but I can't remember where anyway. I remember he came and he told me the problem he had when he tried to get a visa. You know, and those days in Europe, you get visa from the through the airline. And he got it, and he showed me the visa. He opened his passport. Look at that visa. The visa was given to him. And who issued the visa? And he put on top there, no name airline. The airline has no name. I think it was Czechoslovakia when he broke them to, if I remember correctly. So when the country is split into two, you don't know what to name your airline. Okay, so let's remember that the first beast embraces all the hedonistics and evil spirit of those three beasts, the bear, the lion, and the leopard, the region of that time. Go to verse 3 of Revelation chapter 3. Alright, Revelation chapter 13, verse 3. And I saw one of his head as he were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. When did this happen? Well, quickly I go back to it with you. It happened in 1517 when Martin Luther nailed the 95 theses. Now, the whole of Europe were plunged under dark age by created by the Roman Catholic. When there was Inquisition, there were people who cannot read the Bible. You know, those who do not bow down to the Catholic system, they were taken and tortured and so on and so forth. And so the whole of Europe were under a dark age. Until Martin Luther came and he got him the revelation, the just by live by faith, and he stood against the Catholic Church and the emperors and some of the country back him up. Else Luther would have been beheaded anyway. But they back it up, and people then began to look at what the Catholic had taught them, and so they realized the truth, that they had been deceived, and so they left. So they pulled out. So Martin Luther came in 1517 and dealt a blow to the Roman beast, to that beast that was the 8th head, actually, you know. But it's not yet called the 8th head because it wasn't what it was back then. And in 1798, the French general, Bartier, he exiled the Pope. So what we have the religious bruising of the head, and also the political bruising of the head, when this general, French general, Bartier, exiled the Pope. And in 1803, Napoleon Bonaparte humiliated the Pope by crowning himself as the emperor. So, papacy was wounded, both religiously and politically. Alright.
But while this was taking place back in the 1500s to the 1700s to the early 18th, in the old world, in the new world, something already happened. Another beast had already risen. And that's the lamb. Because already, you know, back in the 1500, the 1600, we have a lot of pilgrims getting out of Europe and UK or England at that time. Away from, you know, this prosecution, the pressure they put on them by the Pope and the Anglican Church. And so they left and went over to the New World. Verse 12 to 14. Here we have the wounded head. Now, I think you all know about the first beast. So if you want to know about the first beast, go to my website and read it. We are not going through this. We're just giving you, just, you know, refresh your memory a little bit. Verse 12 to 14. And he exercised all... Okay, this is the second beast. I'm sorry. So, let me just read what in verse 12 onward. And he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, that is the second beast, and caused the earth and that which dwelt therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he do a great wonder, so that he make fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of man, and deceive them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. Now, when we go to a wound by a sword, people think literally it's a sword, eh? What is a sword? If the sword is not religious, if the sword is not physical, then what is it? It must be a spiritual sword, a religious sword. So that's why Martin Luther stood against the Pope, you know, with the revelation, the just shall live by faith, there's no purgatory and so on. And he nailed the 95 theses, which is again a nail on Wittenberg Castle. And so papacy was wounded. But now he says that here, the wound was healed, and the wound was healed because the second beast healed it. It is after World War II, you know, when Europe was in a bad shape, so America, the second beast pumped in a lot of money to build them up. And then they built up NATO, you know NATO, huh? So it was formed, you know, so the reason why they built up NATO was because they think that Russia, the evil one, they're going to, you know, take over control and this and that and so on. And that was back then the Soviet. Okay, so the leadership of America was looked upon by this, the European beast. Alright? So at the same time, USA looked to Vatican. So these are all back then in after the Second World War. So what we have, when we look into the Bible here, we have two beasts. First beast, second beast. And when we talk about the first beast, don't look at it as a people. Look at it as an evil or a spirit that is working in that nation or in that empire. So it's Romanism. So the first beast is Romanism. The second beast is Americanism. And so Americanism built an image to the first beast. So if the first beast that we are talking about in Romanism, and practically in Europe, there's a great high percentage of Catholic. Everywhere you go, you can see Catholic churches. How many of you have been to Europe? You would know. You walk the street and then you go to a place, and what you have, this is a Sunday, you go ding dong, ding dong, the big bell, religions are there. Religiously, you see all the facade of the, you know, the cathedral, the in building, all, you go back to the Renaissance period, you know, this very, very Catholic. It's a spirit of Romanism out there. Now, why is it called a spirit of Romanism? Is because, first of all, you must understand, the Roman Empire was practically run by, this emperor, what they call him, Caesars. Julius Caesar, Augustus Caesar, and all the Caesars, Nero Caesar, they are all believe there's some kind of God himself, that people worship, even worship them. Huh? And then when you have this pop taking in the place of Pontifex Maximus, a son of God, you know, that's what the title represents, Pontifex Maximus. And then you move in later into take over the what you call the pagan Roman Empire and make it into the Holy Roman Empire. So it's the same spirit as Romanism. Alright. So now if the second beast bear an image to the beast. So this image must also be religious. But it's an organization, it's physical, but it's religious. And that is the ecumenical movement. The one world order that was coming into play then. Alright, let's go to the next image. There is no doubt that the irresistible effort of the ecumenical movement to form a world church will culminate in the acceptance of the Pope, that man of sin, the son of perdition, as his head. And from that, he will be the head of a one world system. Malachi Martin, an expert on the Catholic Church, a former Jesuit and professor at the Vatican's Pontifical Biblical Institute, wrote in the book The Keys of This Blood, which was published in 1990s. Willing or not, really or not, we are all involved. The competition is about who will establish the first one world system of government that will ever exist in the society of nations. It is about who will hold and wield the dual power of authority and control over each of us as individuals and over all of us together as a community. Our way of life as individuals and as citizens of the nations, our families and our jobs, our trade and commerce and money, our educational systems, and our religions, and our cultures, even the badges of our national identity, which most of us have always taken for granted, all would have been powerfully and radically altered forever. No one would be exempted from its effects. No sector of our lives will remain untouched. Pope John II insists that men will have no reliable hope of creating a viable geopolitical system unless it is on the basis of Roman Catholic Christianity. Beloved, remember the only one who will escape this delusion will be those who are at the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God. Now think of this. This is Malachi Martin, a Jesuit priest. A former Jesuit professor of this Vatican Pontifical Biblical Institute teaching that, wrote in his book on the keys of this blood. Very strange title. Now we have, who was this? George Bush that came to talk about the one world order, right? Correct? Yeah. But now, who is going to be the one running this whole thing? Interestingly, verse 16 to 18 now, in your Bible. And he calls all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that hath the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. And here is wisdom. Let him that have understanding count the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man. His number is 600, 66. The Pope is of so great dignity and so exalted that he is not a mere man, but as it were God and the vicar of God. Remember that vicar of God thing? Huh? He comes as a vicar of God. The Pope is, as it were, God on earth, chief king of kings, having plenitude of power. The Pope is of such lofty and supreme dignity that, properly speaking, he has not been established in any rank of dignity, but rather has been placed upon the very summit of all ranks of dignities. Well, he's above everybody. Again, he is likewise the divine monarch and the supreme emperor and king of kings. Wow, you see the name? You look at all these titles that you claim by the Pope. Hence, the Pope is crowned with a triple crown as king of heaven, of earth, and of the lower region. This is written, this is taken from Lucia Ferraris, Prompta Bibliotica Canonica Juridica Moralis Theologica. This is all, of course, theologically about juriting about moral, well, and that's a Catholic dictionary. All right, let me make next quote from the encyclical letter of Pope Leo XIII, written in June 20, 1894. We hold upon this earth the place of God Almighty. Now, this is a claim of the Catholic Church, all right? The claim of the Pope. Okay, next one. The Pope is not only the representative of Christ, of Jesus Christ, but he is Jesus Christ himself, hidden under the veil of flesh. Wow! Think about it, brother and sister. Okay, and people out there still think nothing of it. But we don't see anything now. Back in those days, after when the church started, the first church started, the early church started, and then by Nicolaitan Spirit came in and became a doctrine and became deeds and so on, and it grew until, you know, there's clergy, you know, the laity is separate from the clergy, and the clergy then dressed like some holy man. You know, and by, they said, we are the only one that can teach the word, nobody else knows the word. You're not supposed to read the Bible and so on. So it moved on, and people subtly, very subtly, overnight, the whole of the empire went into a dark age. So today what? Nothing what? Everything, nothing seems to be happening. Soon or very soon, not only that we are going to see the king, but what is going to come happen upon this earth, they are going to see their own kind of king upon this earth. We define that the Holy Apostolic See, that is Vatican, and the Roman Pontiff hold the primacy over the whole world. Wow. A decree of the Council of Trent, quoted in Philippi, Levi, and Gabriel Cossard, the Most Holy Council. What are the letters supposed to be in the Pope's crown? And what do they signify, if anything? The letters inscribed in the Pope's mitre are this: Vicarius Fidei. In fact, sometimes they switch the word Vicarius Fidei. Things like that. I don't know about all this Latin thing, Roman thing, how did they go back and forth. Okay. The letter inscribed in the Pope's mitre are this: Vicarius Fidei, which is the Latin for Vicar of the Son of God. Catholics hold that the Church, which is a visible society, must have a visible head. Christ, before his ascension into heaven, appointed St. Peter to act as his representative. Hence, to the Bishop of Rome, as head of the Church, was given the title Vicar of Christ. Our Sunday visitor, Catholic Weekly, Bureau of Information, Huntington, Indiana, USA, April 18, 1915. So with wisdom, let us count the number of these men who have this, who would be with the beast in that hour. When a new Pope is crowned, he is conferred the title Vicarius Fidei, meaning the Vicar of Christ, which, when translated into the Roman numerals, their value adds up to 666. Now you can see all that. You also have the Latin name. You see, the Catholic Church, they use Latin in their celebration or ceremony or ritual. So Latin men, Latinos, Latinos. Latin is the language of Rome in all its official business. In the Roman alphabets, the value of Latin adds up to 666. Interesting, isn't it? Huh? And I want you to notice this letter here. Well, we look at it as DVXCLERI. This is the Latinos in Roman Latin. But if you look at it carefully, the Roman have only six letters used in numbers. That is DVXCLNI. And those six letters add up to 666. All right? Itself. And so the Latino man just add ER, of course, but there has no value. And it's still 666. Alright, Latino is but Greek form of the name Romulus, from which the present city of Rome is named. The value of all its letters also add up to 666. Now, this is in Greek form. Alright, Latinos, and still add up to 666. And has an added significance. The same name in Hebrew, Romith, also has a total value of 666. According to the historian Alexander Hyslop, in his book, The Two Babylon, page 239 and 270, the original name of Rome was Saturnia, meaning the city of Saturn. Soba, Anisha, this is Chaldean. And Saturn was but another name for Nimrod. It was the secret name revealed only to the initiates of the Chaldean mysteries, which in Chaldee was spelled with four letters. Still. In this language, still adds up to a total value of 666. Interesting. There are two more interesting facts to note. In 1 Kings chapter 10, 14, we have the record that King Solomon received 666 talents of gold a year, besides other things. This wealth of gold played an important part in leading him, Solomon, astray. The word wealth is translated from the Greek euphoria. With a total euphoria is the name of a goddess. Alright? It's the name of goddess and it's all about money. But the total value of 666, as you can see, E equals to 5, U 400, P 80, O 70, out 100, I 10, and A 41. Out of the 2,000 Greek nouns of the New Testament, there is one other word that has this numerical value. And that word is paradosis. P equals to 80, A equals to 1, R equals 100, A equals to 1, D equals to 4, O equals 70, A equals, S equals to 200, I equals to 10, S equals to 200, translated tradition. So paradosis is translated to as tradition, and it's add up to 666. So wealth and tradition are the two great corruptions of the Roman Catholic Church. Wealth corrupts practice and honesty, and tradition corrupts doctrine. And that's why religion is all about money. Right? Yes. And so the Catholic Church is so powerful. So now there's still a why back then, when under the Roman Catholic the pagan Roman Empire, Caesars allowed themselves to be worshipped as God. And do you remember Nero Caesar? What did Nero Caesar said when he set fire to Rome? He played the fiddle, right? And he blamed it on a Christian for starting the fire. Accused them of it. Because why? They would not listen to the Romans believed, because the Christian was going, they were given to a near mischievous superstition, as he calls it. So that's how the first imperial persecution of the church started. Paul and Peter were the two of Nero's victims. You see, the Catholics are so powerful, they influence the Protestant. Remember that the second beast has already built an image to the first beast. Americanism has built ecumenism to the first beast. First beast is Romanism, and influenced greatly by Catholicism. Americanism has built ecumenism. And so in America today, you have a lot of churches, many of them, and they are members of the World Council of Churches, or even locally in the National Council of Churches. In Singapore, we have our own National Council of Churches, which is a part of the World Council of Churches. Alright? And so over the years of this influence, what Robert Schuller, a well-known Protestant preacher, has this to say, It's time for Protestants to go to the shepherd, that is the Pope, and say, what do we have to do to come home? Now, Robert Schuller is a very well-known preacher on television. Now, this was spoken back in 1987. Oh, you think about it. And that's why you see, like, Pentecostal, the charismatic especially, out there wooing. And that's why I said many years ago, when the World Council of Churches started, and ecumenism moved into Singapore, I said, oh, this is strong. You know, it is ecumenism that will allow any kind of a sect to come in. And by, with charismaticism coming in, I said, oh, this is another trouble. Because in charismaticism, what do they emphasize? Tongue speaking. You speak in tongue, So every Tom, Dick, Harry tried to speak in tongue, and we find that in the Catholic Church. And you know, it is so common in Africa, even. And many times when I hear some of these tongue speaking, it's just a lot of strange, just bubbling out, and there's no message. And very strange, you got a man or woman go, and they call the tongue. And you have seen some of the video that we have talked about, I show it to you, where they behave like animals. Do you remember? Woo! They behave like a wolf. And under some of this charismatic, crazy guy, like Kenneth Copeland. And you know, I will show you probably, you know, what Kenneth Copeland did recently.
At the 2020 Southwest Believers Convention, Kenneth Copeland gives a demonstration in understanding covenant. They start off by mixing salt in a bag to demonstrate that when you mix two people's salt, it's impossible to know which is which or to separate them. And then it gets just creepy.
Now, so this is your cup.
Yes, sir.
This is my cup. So,
that's the cutting of the covenant.
Now, is it just me, or is that not a bit freaky? Even includes the drama of the moaning effects.
And then I would do the same.
Jesus said, take this cup. This is my blood of the new covenant.
Yes, Jesus did say that, but he didn't cut his hand and drip blood into the wine.
Now we've mixed our blood.
That's right.
which is his and which is mine. Now, our blood has symbolically been mixed here. Now, at the communion table,
yes, sir.
He said, "This is my blood of the new covenant. All of you drink all of it." Judas had to drink that.
Yes, sir.
So, and I want you to be this way every time you take communion, and you ought to take it a lot. A lot.
Yes, sir.
Now his blood is in my body.
Yes, sir.
It's in there. His blood is mixed with my blood. Can you see it? Western people don't know anything about covenant. Eastern people do.
So this is just a really strange way to explain this. It resembles something more New Age than biblical. Jesus' blood covenant was for the remission of sins because the blood of goats and bulls could never fully do this. This new covenant was God's promise that when someone believed or committed to Jesus, that our sins would be remitted or canceled, and we would be born again as a new creation through Christ. But as usual, Kenneth makes this just weird.
Now his blood is in my body.
Yes, sir.
It's in there. His blood is mixed with mine.
Well, I don't think I need to explain what you just saw. The man is... I don't want to say about him. He couldn't be a Christian. He couldn't be a great preacher, you know. And this is all about money. And they come and dramatize some nonsense. You know, my blood mixed with his blood, and Judas took the cup as well, and Judas was not even around. And what has the covenant? What he's doing is completely wrong. The covenant that Jesus is making his blood was what he did for us. What has it got to do with drink the blood inside or mix with our blood and this and that? And you know, I'm really confused with the way he was talking. I said, how is it they get so messed up? All right, well, you understand what's going on anyway. All right, let's go back to the... this is exactly what preacher all deceive, you know. Just as the Catholic Church has said, the piece of bread became the body of Christ. They don't have the wafer, and that wafer became the body of Christ as well, transubstantiation. And they give it to the person to take. But the cup, no more. The people cannot take the cup anymore, only for the priest. And so we have a lot of drunkenness, you know, alcoholic priests out there too. As I said this, Robert Sula, a well-known preacher, and we have Kenneth Copeland, we have Kenneth Hagin, we have many others out there in America. And that's why religious in America, being that the two horns like a lamb, they're supposed to be, you know, Christian people, they go up there, tender and all that, meek and all that. But you see, the horn has been so mixed religiously, politically, Republican and Democratic, and they're all just fighting against each other. Well, we see all that thing going on in the spirit. But let us read this here. Pope Pius XII, in his encyclical letter, The Mystical Body of Christ, in 1943, June 29, said this: if a man refused to hear the Roman Catholic Church, let him be considered, so the Lord commands, as a heathen and a publican. But you see what people, the Bible says, don't add to the word, don't take away from the word. So what do we have here? So he has it added to the word. What has the Roman Catholic Church? If a man refused to hear the Roman Catholic Church, when he said the church means the Roman Catholic Church, to hear the church, let him be considered, that's what the Lord's command, let him be called a heathen and a publican. You see, people take the Bible in and out as they like to force it upon people. So, if I refuse to hear the Roman Catholic Church, I'm hidden and a publican. So be it, according to them. But to me, he who embraced Catholicism in the way that it is all outside the Word of God, they are hidden and a publican, actually. You know. But why do they have to make themselves to be the big guy? All right, let's go and look at Revelation 13, 16. And he calls all, both great and small, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hands or in their forehead. Now, here is a wrong translation. I just want to first make clear. The word in is not right. Okay? The word in here is actually not en. No, it's actually epi. So it should be read as to receive a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. On. Not in. Okay? So now if you go to Acts chapter 9, verse 17. Go to Acts chapter 9, verse 17. I mean, this is a study, okay? If you don't turn your Bible and take notes, and well, that's your choice. But you want to be a student of the word, you have to take a pen, write down Acts 9:17, and I want to show you how you look in the word. This is sometimes important. Look at it carefully. Acts 9:17. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hand on him, that is Saul, okay, put his hand on, the Greek word is epi, said, "Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, had appeared unto thee in the way as thou came, have sent me that thou might receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost." So the word on in this verse here of Acts is epi, just like Revelation 13, 16. The word epi is from the Greek word superimposition. Or we can say superimposed. To lay on or set as something to be born, endured, obeyed, fulfilled, paid. To obtrude oneself or one's requirements as upon others. To impose. So, Ananias came and laid his hand. Okay, to impose. I mean, something that is put on him. But not something physical. You want something to impart. You understand? Alright, so here we have in Revelation 13, 16. And, you know, this second beast will cause all the people of the world, not necessarily in this part of the world, but more so in the prophetic world, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. So something that is imposed on you. You got it? Superimposed. Okay. Something that you have it put to you for you to obey. We go to Acts chapter 17, verse 29. So I want you to remember the word mark. Alright? To receive a mark, the word mark. We have not dealt with the word mark. So mark, so what do you want to find out what the word mark is? If you go to Acts 17, 29. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. Now, that's a very good, interesting verse here. Look at it, alright? For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven. You know what's graven? Engraving. Correct? Graven by art, crafts, or man's device, man's ideas, man's thing. Interesting, huh? The word graven here is the same word as the word mark. It's only translated differently. It's the same word. Okay, let's go to that. Last image here before we go to the document. So the word mark, as you read in Revelation 13:12, and the word graven, as you read in Acts 17:29, are the same word. So the word here in Greek is karama, karagma, which is from the Greek song of concordant number 5480 from 5482, a scratch or edging that is stamped as a badge of servitude or sculptured figure, a statue, graven, mark. Alright? In Hebrews 1:13, we read that verse as well. Who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sin, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. The word express image is character, whichever sounds like character, we all know, right? From the Greek, what called the concordant number 5480, from same as 5482. A graver, the tool or the person that is, by implication, engraving, character. The figure stamped, that is an exact copy or figuratively representation, express image. So something that is engraved into you, something that is, you know, we can say indoctrinate, something that's forced on you, put on you so much that you have the same behavior, same character. Alright, like father, like son, that sort of thing. Alright, so now, when we look at this verse of scripture of Revelation 13:16, we know that the mark, therefore, is not something that you put on your forearm, or something you wear on your head, literally. But something that is engraved to you. We call it, you can say it another word, but I'm not so a good word to use, but I'm not quite right, but it's brainwashing thing. Okay, but so much so that it is enforced on you, that you behave like them. Okay, you understand what I'm saying? You know all this behavior, people are, you know, who started this? Usain Bolt. Right? Then whatever, and the people like, you know, oh no, my grandson Adam will take picture every time. I don't know, I mean, children find cute to do all this. So we have all this, you know, and people protest, they have this, what's that? I don't know, there was a protest that was going on in some place, they were using these three things also. You know, and then of course we have the dirty side with the middle finger, you know what I mean? I mean, so something that is, you become part of the behavior of these people. And so when you have this graven image, I mean not graven image, I mean this Revelation 13:16, and he calls us small and great, rich and poor, rich and free and bond, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. So it's on. So something that is like we already said the word ipi, right? Lehen. Okay, something that is important. So that is a religious thing, as you know, the poor people do their laying of hand and so on. And when he come out and pray, you know, and even some people behave that, but the Catholic Church, you see a lot, the Pope will bless people like that with the hand. Okay, so we see that there's something that's important. Okay, let us go right now to Galatians 16:17. Alright, Galatians 6:17. The one that we read last week. Galatians 6:17. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. So the word marks here is a different word. It is stigma. Very interesting thing by saying word stigma. You understand that? So this word stigma, it says here from a primary word, stigzo, to stick or to prick, a mark in size of punch, for recognition of ownership, that is figuratively a scar of service mark. So not necessarily something that is true. Huh? Paul bears the mark, okay? You know why he got all those marks? He said, I bear the mark of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was whipped, he was in prison, right? He was robbed, and robbers cut him up and things like that, and all the injury he got. So he bear the mark because he went on missionary, and he go wherever the Lord sent him, and he suffered. So, something that is, trust unto you, prick unto you, a stick, and it's called stigma. So it becomes a stigma. So now, Paul was a stigma, bear the stigma of Christ. They say, oh, he's a missionary, he bear the mark of Christ. Okay? Now, but this stigma is just by word in itself. But we read, and we know, this TC, okay, let's look at a closer number here, in above. TC stigma. Now that is very unusual. We see the word is written in Greek, the three letters above it. It's actually sigma, without the G, without the I there. Without the T there, it's supposed to be sigma. TC sigma, but we call it stigma. Because very strangely, the word 666 is written that way. Because why? Somebody is going to prick you. You understand what I'm saying? Trust on you. Right. But stigma is not something nice. You understand what I mean? It's not something that is real stigma. Because the 666 by itself should be key, see, sigma, but it's called stigma because it shows something that it is forced upon you by the Antichrist, by the beast. And for those poor, rich, and born, or whatever they may be. So that they would have the right to buy and sell. Without that mark, you don't have it. So, and it is because of this, I guess, when people talk about the COVID, the pandemic, if you don't get the vaccine, you cannot go shopping, if you don't get a vaccine, or you cannot go to the mall, or you cannot go to church, you cannot worship, and they feel that is what it is. But the pandemic, who is the 666? And we know that the 666, that is only one person with that name. First of all, we want to know. The 666, let's just go back to Revelation, okay, chapter 13. Last verse, chapter 13, verse 18. Here is wisdom. Let him have understanding, count the number of the beast. Is the number of the beast the name of a man? Right? The mark is 666. Verse 17 says, and that no man might buy or sell, and that he that had the mark or the name of the beast. So it's the name of the beast, the number of the beast also. And it's the number of a man. Okay, look at it one more time. The name of the beast, the mark of the beast, and the number of the name of his name. So it has to do with a man that has a name that comes up to 666. So the vaccine, you mean Dr. Anthony Fauci? He's the man with 666. Or who? You know. So we realize that then we are still looking at something that is coming upon the world. And this is still ahead of us. It is not a vaccine, it's not a physical mark, it is not Islam. It's not like last time they say it's Donald Wilson Reagan. His three names are 666. So they say it was him. And one state it was Gorbachev, because Gorbachev has this mark on the forehead. No, the birthmark on the forehead. And our time it was, what this statement, I can't remember his name now. And people have always said this, and that. But you see, when we look into the Bible here, as far as the Bible is concerned, the Antichrist cannot be anybody else outside the Bible, outside Christ. It has to be somebody who says he's a preacher, who's a man of God, and believe that he's Christ. We already read what we read earlier, all those from the Catholic Church, and what they claim, the Pope being the one, that he's the man, he's the King of Kings, and so on and so forth. I'm here showing you a whole list, some of the many, many hundreds of ridiculous doctrines that the Catholic Church comes up. All right? So these are so-called biblical revelation added by the papacy over many years. Alright, begin for the year AD 310. The sign of the cross began. 320, wax candles were introduced. 325, foundation laid for the Trinity concept at Nicaea. 375, veneration of angels and dead saints began. 394, worship of Mary invented. 500, priests began to dress differently from the people. And that's why even some Pentecostal church and even charismatic even want to dress different. Okay? 600, Latin language for prayer and worship was imposed by Gregory I. Prayers were directed to Mary or the dead saints. 650, feast in honor of the Virgin Mary began. 709, kissing of the Pope's feet began. And that's why if you go to Rome, Vatican, outside there is a statue of St. Peter, you know. The toes of St. Peter has been repaired many times. They kissed until he went off. Poor Peter. 750, the temporal power of the Pope was invented. 788, adoration of Mary and dead saints began. Worship of the cross, images, relics was invented. Do you know people take the cross and they kiss it? They worship it like? Yeah. 850, holy water mixed with a pinch of salt and blessed by the priest with bell had become holy water. And that's very powerful. We should use that. 890, veneration of St. Joseph, the husband of Mary, began. 965, baptism of bells was instituted. Bells, you see, started in 604. You know those, the call to prayer and all that, call to service? Yep. And then they baptized the bell. 995, canonization of dead saints was first invented by Pope John V. 998, fasting on Fridays and during the Lent was imposed. 1079, celibacy of the priests was decreed. 1090, rosary was introduced. 1100, mass was developed gradually as a sacrifice and attendance was made obligatory. 1184, Inquisition of heretics was instituted. 1190, sale of indulgences began. And that is what Martin Luther was fighting against, one of them. 1200, wafer was substituted for bread in the Lord's Prayer, in the Lord's Supper. 1215, dogma of transubstantiation invented. Confession of sins to the priest at least once a year was enforced. 1220, adoration of the wafer host invented. 1229, Bible was forbidden to laymen. 1245, cardinals were ordered to wear red hats. See, wow. 1264, feast of Corpus Christi was introduced, the holy body of Christ. 1414, the cup was forbidden to the people by instituting the communion of one kind. You know, communion, Nobody should be denied the cup. Nobody should be denied the bread. Right? Yeah. Okay. 1439, doctrine of purgatory was proclaimed. 1478, the Inquisition was introduced into Spain. A lot of people really suffered for that. They were tortured. 1545, tradition was declared as of equal authority with the Bible. Huh. You see that? Make the word of God no effect by the tradition. 1546, the apocryphal books were added to the Bible. 1854, the Immaculate Conception of the Virgin Mary in heaven was invented. 1870, doctrine of the Pope's infallibility when he speak ex cathedra was invented. So whatever he said, that's it. When he was in office as a Pope, as long as the Pope, whatever he said, it's infallible. 1925, the personal corporal presence of the Virgin Mary in heaven was invented. 1950, the dogma of the assumptions of the Virgin Mary was proclaimed. 1996, Pope John Paul II made the statement that the RSC supports evolution. 2014, Pope Francis reaffirmed that faith and added at one point, evolution in nature is not inconsistent with the notion of creation because evolution requires the creations of beings that evolve. I don't know where he evolved from. It has to be from a polywog or a tadpole. Obviously, right? What do you think you come from? Huh? A monkey? Some people said, the culture has changed. Now here's some change. Let's go read two verses of scripture and then we close with it. I want to let you know in closing, you know, there have been extreme teaching that even for those who hold to the Trinity, for those Protestant people who hold to the Trinity, they are holding on to the mark because it's one on the mark. Do you understand? And there's another teaching where for those who believe in keeping of the Sabbath on Saturday, those who fellowship on Sunday had the mark of the beast because the Pope changed it from Saturday to Sunday. This is what they taught. Alright, let's go to Revelation chapter 19, verse 20. And the beast was taken, and with him was the false prophet. They wrought miracles before him, with whom he received them that have received the mark of the beast, and them that worship his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. So, when the Bible talks like this, says this, people have the idea that this beast and the false prophet, they were actually human beings, they are men. Alright? But I want you to notice that, verse 20, the beast was taken. Which beast? Now, whenever the Bible talks about the beast, they're always pointing to the first beast. Then they come out another beast. And this second beast, it was called the false prophet. Alright? And that's Americanism. So the spirit, you were talking about the spirit of the beast. Do you remember, as I said this, that Gabriel was coming to Daniel, but he was, you know, retained by the prince or the spirit of Persia. Right? Now, every one of us have angels, our guiding angels, right? You all know that, don't you? We have guiding angels. And the church have the Holy Spirit. And, you know, if the church is real, if we are one, then we also have a character. Do you understand what I'm saying now? The mark of Christ on us, so to speak, that means something that is put on us, imposed upon us. We have been taught by the Word of God. So we have the mark, so, of the Word of God. So we should act like one. But you see, the churches today, you know, when I first came to this end time message, I thought, wow, Fantastic truth. Every believer should be one. Every church in this message of Brother Bam should be one. It turned out not to be so. Brother Nye was talking to me, Brother Gunn, I want you, 2 days or 3 days ago, I want you to remove the name of some of these preachers from your website. And he gave me the name of two of them. Why? They were in the ministry. Suddenly, one of them fornicated. And even have sex with three sisters of the same family. You know. And one of them turned away from the truth. Speak against what we have. You see, this thing, something is wrong. Because you see, God is still working on us. You're sung the song. He's still working in me, right? Yeah. God is still working on us. But if we are really truly born again, can we deviate from the truth? That is not why our ankle holds. If it doesn't hold, our mind is double-minded. Our mind is here and there, we are unstable. And I'm saying that to you, brother and sister out there, in your home, overseas. You talk about faith. Let your faith be real with your mouth and your action. Not say this, not say that. Then turn around, you're not part of the fellowship, part of the body of Christ. Because Paul taught us very clearly. Now you all want to study all the 14 books of Brother Paul of the Bible. And understand what he went through and why he was so strict with how that we act as a believer. How we live the life as a believer. There should be honor. There should be respect. Huh? But no. Everybody have done that, go here, this and that. But not, you know, when I just want to be a part of the family. I heard this all with many years, many times. I come as I like, I don't like it, I go. When I want to come back, I come back. I don't want to come back, I don't come back. So they move from place to place and this and that. Hey, we're the body of Christ. Every member of the body contributes to the body. Every member contributes to the well-being of the body. And if we have the head, then we should really follow what the head tells us to do. Is that right? So that's the spirit I'm talking about. And here we are, this spirit of the beast. With the spirit of God teaching us about the beast out there in Romanism. And this body was taken with the false prophet, which is the spirit of Americanism. That two spirits were taken and cast into the lake of fire. Now, go to the last verse. Chapter 20, verse 10. I want to show you here. There are the three spirits. They all be taken and cast into the lake of fire. Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. And they shall be tormented day and night, forever and ever. You get it? Satan then will be taken. Then he'll be cast into the lake of fire, where the spirit of the beast and the spirit of false prophet will. They will cast there first. Then the last to be thrown out and will be Satan. Cast into the fire. The three spirits. The beast, the false prophet, and the devil. Do you understand that? So you are Romanism? Americanism, and how the Satan has manipulated the whole thing. All right, and now they create another spirit, which is ecumenism. But ecumenism is part of Americanism because they started the whole thing there. So we don't want to be one with that thing. We want to be one with the Word. Amen. Amen? Amen. And I pray that help you all to understand. God bless every one of you. They are spirit. Gracious Father in heaven, thank you, Lord. Thank you for what we have again today.
portion of thy word and understanding, Lord, as we move on in this journey. Lord, search our heart, Father. As we sung the song many times in the past, search me, O Lord, know my heart today. Try me. And see if there be any wicked things, any wicked ways. Lord, I pray. As much as, Lord, you have spoken to your prophets of old, your apostles of old, and even as we have, to what you have said to Brother Branham, if you will be sincere. And how true that is, Lord, that every one of us, not just preacher, but as believer, that we be sincere with our words. We sincere with ourselves, our action. Otherwise, Father, Lord, our life, what is it? We'll be just hypocrites. Let us be as what Christ wants us to be, Father. He has set the example for us, laying down his life and his action, O Lord, and the way of Christ, O Lord. Help us therefore, Lord, to be like him. And we know, Lord, you have given us the Spirit of Christ. And we know, Lord, you will lead us into that, to that image of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, Lord, we thank you. So bless the rest of the day now, Father. Bless everyone in Jesus' name.